Shit. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday. Shit Show Saturday, folks. So this one is long overdue, okay? I've been wanting to do this one for a while. I am chatting with fellow Shit Show members who participate in our weekly divorce and separation group. So this group meets every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And today you're going to get a wide variety of divorce and separation, okay? We have I'm considering divorce and separation. We have I'm separated and still living together. We have I'm separated and not living together. We have I'm in the midst of a really long and drawn out divorce. We have post-divorced, and they will just be sharing about where they're currently at, the way in which their childhood is, you know, playing out in this relationship, in this divorce and separation process, and what they've gotten out of being a part of this small group, what this safe space has meant to them in their healing journey. And so again, this is just one of the many sub-communities that we have in the Shit Show. And this is just another value add selling point, folks, okay? These additional safe spaces on particular topics, on particular struggles, where you can connect with people who are going through the same shit as you, or who have gone through the same shit as you, or who are considering going through the same shit as you. Just an additional safe space for you to be able to share on things that maybe you wouldn't feel comfortable sharing about, like in a, you know, 12-step ACA meeting at large, and a way for you to be able to more intimately connect with fellow members of the Shit Show. So again, you're missing out, okay? Why haven't you hopped aboard this damn hot mess of a ship? It's time already, okay? See the link in the show notes and enjoy today's conversation. So why don't we go around first and just say, where do we stand, like current statuses?
Still like in the process, like relationship has ended almost a year ago. She's still living with me and trying to navigate through this like initial, I don't even know, like we were never legally married. And so,
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Like it's one of those strange things here in the state of Texas, but I mean, yeah, it's been coming up on a year and still living with her.
For me, I'm currently married, still living in the same house, but we're separated, and we've been separated for, I don't even know how long now. It's been like 2 or 3 years. It's a long time. I think we're kind of stuck in this spot for a while because we're going through so much stuff with my kids, with our kids. Mm-hmm. I have 3 young kids, 4, 6, and 8, so we're kind of in it for the long haul, it looks like. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
I am married of 7 years and undecided if it's right for me. So that's kind of what I'm working through.
I just hit 5 years from my divorce. And before that, I was married for 4 years.
I am currently separated. Was married for 7 years and separated as of January, 1 week before our 7th anniversary.
One thing that I was wondering, and obviously, Lucy, you've been divorced for 5 years, but I'm just curious as far as everyone's process of like coming to terms with the impact of your childhood and how that has played a role in realizing that this is perhaps not the right relationship for me.
Yeah, I can respond to that. I'm coming to terms with like the emotional neglect I experienced as a child. The scapegoating episode you had recently really rocked my world, and I have a lot to dig into there. This does connect to my divorce, but just briefly, I have a severely narcissistic father who was like basically a warm body in the room. He wasn't doing any parenting. He was unemployed for long stretches, gambling away the money my mom was earning, and basically was a drag on every part of the family, but he was technically there. I technically was in a two-parent home. And my mom was raising me, my sister, and my dad's 3 older kids from his first marriage. My little sister had cancer when she was 2. She's now a fully healthy adult, but There was just like so much chaos and difficulty in the home to have one parent there who wasn't functional and the other one doing everything. And I kind of like overachieved and used perfectionism as a way to try to get attention and all those patterns that we talk about. But then my parents did get divorced when I was in the beginning of college, right around the time I met the person I later married. And he was like extremely charming and fun and popular and handsome. And he just kind of scooped me up, like picked me out of the crowd. And my therapist now says it like, well, it's almost like he was inevitable. Like you didn't have adults around you who were looking out for you. And, you know, I was like at this expensive school where I got a lot of aid, but I had to keep like begging for more money to be able to stay. And I didn't know anything about managing money. And this new boyfriend was like, hey, you know, have you thought about this type of loan with this interest rate? And could give me the type of advice that a parent should have been able to, but I didn't have that. And so I just like fell in immediately so deep with him because there was just this vacuum of mentorship, of affection, of just advice. Like I just felt so unmoored. Like there was no one looking out for me and no one I could ask. And suddenly this like cool guy was there who genuinely did know a lot of things. He wasn't bullshit. he's an extremely competent person. He just happens to also be comfortable putting me down and keeping me small. Basically, it worked. The relationship worked best for him when I was at my most kind of compromised and my most insecure and lost. Like when he was the one with all the answers and he was the hero, that worked great. And then when I started to have more autonomy and more understanding that I'm also really competent, I'm also really smart, and I'm scrappy. Like I figure things out when people are helping me or even when they aren't. And we were together for like 9 years over the course of like 12. Like there was a gap in there. It's hard because there were some like really great times. He's like a really fun person and he's like a good friend and a good teacher and has all these good qualities, but he treats his romantic partners very differently than he treats anyone else in his life. And I can see that because I know some of his other exes and they also are not friends with him, are not able to. Yeah, it's like this big rupture when you're the person he's sleeping with or not. It's like that changes everything. I don't have the right words for it, but yeah. So now I've been out of the marriage for 5 years. And when I got divorced, I was so financially reliant on him. Like the last year we were together, I think I made like $20,000 and he made like 75. So we were like living this lifestyle of like people who make almost six figures. But then right after that, it was COVID. I was like suddenly making like, yeah, $19,000 a year doing like teaching art classes and stuff. So it was like insane to restart my life at 30 with like, you know, very little financial support and knowledge and not a lot of skills. Like my skills were in academia, which made sense when I was following him, but not when I was on my own. So I spent the last 5 years like rebuilding my professional resume and my own savings because I like was really at zero in both of those, even though I was 30. And I'm like really proud of how far I've come, but yeah, hopefully that paints a little bit of the connection between childhood neglect and why I would choose a person who I now think of as a bully who put me down. And, you know, it's like I was a set or a, what's the word? Like in a play, it was like there was a casting call for like pretty wife who's like nice at parties. And I like fit the bill, but him choosing me had nothing to do with like the qualities that I'm most proud of in myself or the things that are coolest about me. It was just like, he kind of needed a sidekick who like filled these, checked these boxes. And that was me.
Mm-hmm. Who else would like to share either like about the connection between like your upbringing and why you ended up with this person or how realizing that you're an adult child and you have these childhood wounds led to you realizing that this is probably not the perhaps not the right relationship for you. Anybody can chime in.
mean, I can share on that. And that's probably been a bigger thing about being in this subgroup for me is getting to hear the flip side context, and just having like a meritocracy based kind of ideology. Like, I felt like my relationship should have that too. I saw my grandparents, which were my functioning relationship, which is still fucking dysfunctional as shit. When looking at like how I chose partners and in relationships beforehand, this is my first long-term relationship. I've never gone more than 18 months, so I can reflect back. Before getting into this relationship, like there was no real standard of anything, so I had nothing to go by, and literally just got her trauma and my trauma just had that perfect meld, and the payoff that ensued, is like the dust is settling now 14 years later. And really reflecting on it, and it's based off of that. These are the things that I experienced as a kid, and in reliving a lot of those episodes. Like, she had issues with alcoholism and mental health stuff, and it's hard to trust her, but she is neurodivergent. And so looking at like all these things that did not have that knowledge on, it made it really difficult. And I still carry some of that shame because it was one of those things where it's like I wanted a partner, and the definition of partnership that we had was completely different. And so, she never really worked, so I would pick up the extra work and try to do the extra stuff to make sure the income was adequate, and in between the things that happened where, and I guess like the biggest thing is like me like wanting to play a hero role too. I could see where she was wounded and hurt, like where her inner child wounds are, and it's like I want to try to fix those. And so it's like she would get diagnosed, borderline personality. I'd buy a book and start educating myself on that and how to better encompass that. And overall, like, did the same thing that my grandfather did. He pretty much lost himself to raise family. Just looking at like all of those little things now, I can truly see how like it was so hard, like trauma bonding with her, and then like being fully enmeshed. And even now that she's the one who initiated the breakup. And I just feel like she's like where she paused in her work has left her trapped now, and she's still not fully detached because she still wants to depend on me financially and still control the narrative of how the kids are going to be governed. And at this point, it's like, I was reflecting with my therapist yesterday. I felt so overstimulated yesterday morning. And the only thing, like during my meditation, is like I can feel like this tiger pacing back and forth, and I feel caged. And that's literally the just not having that freedom. And where my childhood stuff comes in with that is like literally, like it just, we were, I was able to do as I pleased, as I wanted. And, looking at the way that my family system was, it was like coming into this relationship, we completely butted heads. Our ideology never matched up. And as she was expressing the way she needed things, and I was trying to express the way I needed things, like we just could never, like, never really figure that out. And, like I said, I reflect back now and I can see like all the chaotic messaging that happened in my childhood. My mom, everybody is essentially a workaholic. We bury ourselves in work. We try not to be as emotional as possible because we are an emotional based family. And when those emotions run strong, everything runs amok and chaos happens. So that's, looking back at it is how I'm interpreting it now. And then like going into still trying to co-parent. That's the next thing is I have children, with her, and I still believe that she's a covert narcissist. I look at a lot of the things that were done during our relationship that she tried to utilize to make sure that she maintained position in that codependence. It's like, I've always had to maintain financial responsibility for her, whether we've been together or not. I'm supposed to be paying her phone bill. I'm supposed to be giving her child support and continuing to pay her insurances and all these other things until she gets it together enough to be able to handle her stuff on her own. And for me, like, I finally reached this break point where it's like, I need my independence. I need to be able to be me to really fully like go and heal the way that I need to heal. And like, I'm trapped in this situation, and where my childhood comes in there is like, don't give up, don't run away. Like my inner child starts to scream. It's like, you'll be abandoning your children if you do this. And that was a bigger thing that I had to talk with my therapist about in that session was like, why do I feel like my inner child is screaming, don't do this? And it's based off of the experiences that I had as a kid when my family was so chaotic. My father was never there. He was always in and out. There were always fights between family members. And so like trying to break that cycle and going, hey, rip the Band-Aid off, get them out of the house now. And that way the cycle stops. Like it's just like I'm in that functional freeze at that moment. Is like how much damage control can I actually make? And so it still sits, even in the recovery work that I'm doing and the progress that I'm making, like that part still sits really heavy. And being in here, like I said, getting to hear the opposite perspective of it, like it does help me to manage that out a little bit more.
For me, it's been way more about my kids lately, just because I'm in a major crisis with their schools. And my son got kicked out of his school, and now he might have to leave this other school because he had an incident with them where they held him down or something. They restrained him. So it's a whole thing. But I think some of the adult child stuff that really hits me with my kids, especially, is like, I feel like I'm just like constantly people pleasing them, especially my son. My son is like, he wants to be with me all the time. He's sweet as hell and he loves being outside and playing bikes and he's super excited, all like tons of excitement. Like his energy level is 1,000 and mine is like 50. It's crazy. But like he really has a hard time taking no. He's autistic. He has ADHD. He wants to do everything now and fast. And I try to. I think really it's like I'm worried I kind of fucked him up because I mean it's not. I'm worried that like I've made him into this kid that like he gets everything he wants. He's spoiled basically. That's what I'm worried. But it's not really that. It's like it's more the issues he has, and I have to remember that. And I think it's just like sometimes it feels like with me and with my wife and the kids. This will happen to me where like we're all together and I'm one of the kids. I'm not the dad, I'm one of the kids. And I don't that feeling is really like unsettling and you're out of control. And it's like I grew up with just like I mean my dad was around but he was around, he wasn't gone, but like they were divorced and I had a single mom and it was always like my mom and us four kids. And that dynamic still sticks with me like so much, and it's hard to get rid of it. And it's just like my wife, like she has a lot of responsibility, and I do a lot too, but she has a lot as well. And I recognize that, but I think, there's resentments there. She resents me because I don't do enough of certain stuff, and I resent her because she doesn't do other stuff. And it's just the relationship has really been battered and destroyed kind of by, I mean, it's not the kids, but it's like they didn't help, that's for sure. Like whatever relationship, I mean, it was a bad relationship anyway before, to be perfectly honest. But that's another thing about being the adult child is I will stick in it forever. I wouldn't, unless some these various things that happened between us, I don't think I ever would have left, I would never say we gotta end this. And it's the same thing I did at the job, my first big career job. It's just like there's just like I don't put myself first, but I am putting my kids first, I think, for the most part. So that's kind of where my focus is. The marriage is what it is, and we're just going to keep going. But yeah, thanks.
So I kind of flashed back to couples therapy a few years ago. And when I came to in couples therapy, I had this realization that I married my grandfather. And, kind of ever since then, it's like these things kind of not just my grandfather, but like I married somebody who represents my family. I'm an only child. My mom was never married. I grew up in a household with my grandparents, my uncle, my aunt, my mom, and my aunt's daughter. And there, it was a lot of chaos. Things were really unpredictable. I'm glad that we lived with my grandparents because my mom was even more unreliable and inconsistent. If she was in a relationship, we just didn't see or hear from her sometimes for days or a week. Sometimes she'd come home really late just to switch clothes in her overnight bag and leave again. And I spent a lot of time crawling into my grandparents' bed in the middle of the night, just looking for closeness. And even that's a bit weird. I think it was maybe on the podcast or in one of our groups, but like my family was like, they were bedroom people. Everyone just kind of stayed in their bedroom. They didn't really, if we came together, it was like we always sat down for dinner together every single night at 5 o'clock. But, most of the time, my grandmother and my grandfather would like get into some kind of disagreement. She would, yell about like what an asshole he was or so insensitive. She'd storm off to her bedroom and eat cookies for dinner. And so it was just like a lot of explosive emotion. And very early on, I got this impression that my mom viewed me as like too much for her to handle. I very much got the impression that I was a burden, because there was a way that things were talked about with my mom when she wasn't home. And it just made me feel like, my grandparents don't want to be raising another kid. Like they're too old for this. And my mom doesn't want to be raising the kid. And so they would, basically call her up and be like, your daughter's here and like no one's here to take care of her. And so it just was really lonely. And I only would ever hear these because, like Andrea, like you shared, like I would put my ear to the door, or, like I got really good at sneakily opening doors or picking up the other phone so I could hear the actual conversation because no one talked to me about it. It was all done like,
Okay, shit show dudes, you can tune out. This is for my fellow shit show ladies. Are you going through perimenopause or menopause? I'm not quite there yet, but I know that I have plenty to look forward to. Feeling like a wet sock driving down the highway, night sweats, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, bloating, gas, man, can't wait for this shit. Now, if that is applicable to you, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 fucking seconds, okay? Now, Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work. Now, for my younger shit show women like myself, if you struggle from that vicious week before your period, you want to crawl out of your skin, experience cravings, want to eat everything in the damn house, you feel a little bit down or off, well, Happy Mammoth also has a product for you to make it easier to manage your PMS with their Estro Control. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code adultchild for 15% off today.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
Behind my back. So in a lot of ways that manifests for me present day. After my son was born in 2022, I had a 6 month maternity leave. And I've always been like a very good worker, like always meets exceeds expectations. Just like, I do not want to ever have downtime. That made me like really uncomfortable. And so I get back from maternity leave and my amazing manager was leaving. I had great rapport. My metrics were incredible. And I just needed to pass a couple of exams to get my underwriter certification like finalized. And the manager who I had had before, he kind of like acted as interim manager after she left and he didn't give me work. And it wasn't until like mid-October. So it had been at least 2 months where literally every day I'm emailing him or calling him like, hey, can you give me my assignments back? So I have work coming in, or do you have, no one else has extra accounts for me to work on today or this afternoon. He'd be like, yeah, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. And finally, 2 months later, I had said to him, like, we need to meet. I need assignments back. And so we met and he's like, why should I give you assignments? You haven't been doing any work. And I'm like, I'm literally begging people every day for work. And so where how this ties into my relationship is this is still kind of the middle of COVID. My husband and I both work from home. You know, he had witnessed or heard most of the conversations that I had had with my manager at the time. So he knew like what I was asking for, how often, I was reaching out. And at some point he seemed to stop having faith in me. He started saying like, well, maybe you're just not doing enough. Maybe you're not trying hard enough. Maybe you're not reaching out in the right ways. And that really fucked with me. It, in a lot of ways, it was like, I'm always trying to do the very best at whatever it is that I'm doing. And then, for him to witness the fucked up conversations that, I would have with my manager where he's just like not showing up with any like interest to like get me work. It was like he started playing for that same team. And it really fucked with me. I was in major depression for almost like 2 years after that. I honestly feel like I'm just sort of coming out of that now. I feel like I have a lot more clarity than I did. I'm actually able to like wake up early in the morning and like get things done. But kind of experiencing the trauma of that work situation and then the impact that it had on my relationship, really felt scary. It felt really scary. So in 2023, a friend of mine had recommended the Adult Child podcast. And immediately I was like devouring episodes because I was like, holy shit, all of this feels like my story, like so much of it feels like my story. And before that, if I had ever shared my life with anyone, it just felt like I was, like this weird alien that like nobody could relate to. And that was like unsettling and isolating. And so, ever since I've been, doing extra therapy and really working on things, like working through a whole lot. And today I dropped my kids off at school and there's just this really significant sadness that I was feeling. And I went to like a favorite place of mine, which is the closest I can get right now is a garden center. Really, I'm very much a plant person. But I was sitting there and just crying in the middle of all of these plants and realizing that I was feeling so horrible because, for a while I was feeling really safe in my relationship. And when things happened with work, that feeling of safety was ripped away. And, my partner on several occasions has admitted to withholding care and love and support for me because he didn't agree with me mentally struggling. And I was out on leave of absence for about a year, actually a little less than a year, like 9 months. And I was let go. That was last May. And once that had happened, like he was already withholding, just participating in our relationship, treating me like a human, or like caring or feeling, you know, whatever. All of that stuff was being withheld. And he had said it was because he never agreed to me not being well and not being able to work full time. And that was just like wild. Like nobody, this is not something I would ever would have expected. And so to have that be held against me, it's kind of just snowballed into like, I'm terrified to put all my trust back in that relationship, in this relationship. Like I want to, but like my inner teenager is just angry about it. And it's really hard keeping her out of the conversation when, you know, he's just being nasty or rude. And my other younger parts, they really feel scared. I mean, there's a lot of denial and invalidation that he does for me. And I see him doing it to our kids who are 3 and 5. And so there's definitely a lot that I feel like is holding me back. Or at least maybe not holding me back is the right word, but just really like, I feel really uncertain about like, is this relationship actually healthy, or is it just the healthiest relationship I've ever been in? And would I be doing myself and my kids a disservice to stay in this relationship? So I definitely have a lot of things to figure out. So yeah, it's tricky.
You're doing it. Sarah, do you want to share briefly just about why you chose who you chose?
The breadcrumb situation, mm-hmm. You know?
Give me those crumbs, baby!
Yep, it was funny that you asked that question, because that's what it was. And our most recent like marriage counselor that we worked with tried to like take us back there, you know, and like rekindle the flame, and was like, obviously there was a reason you got married, and she asked who proposed, and you know, we told her he did, and she looked at me and she's like, okay, so why'd you say yes? And I was like, it never occurred to me I could say no, you know. And that is the God's honest truth, you know. I mean, I liked him because he was giving me attention, you know, but that's pretty much it.
Terry, do you want to share a little bit about just like where you're at as far as like, why don't you share why you wanted to join this group?
Yeah. Why did I join this group? I'm currently going through a divorce, and it's been like 5 years since I separated from the guy that I'm divorcing. We met when I was 23 and he was 11 years older than me. We stayed together for 15 years. After the 11 year mark, I knew that things needed to change. I tried to change them internally the best way that I knew how, with the skills that I had at the time, and none of that seemed to work. It was probably at the time that I started fully on my healing journey, like going into psychotherapy and being a bit outspoken about it and trying to involve him in what I'm learning about myself, that the tensions in our relationship really started to come to a head. I understand now that he is an emotionally avoidant person. He's terrified of his own inner world. And I think the fact that I was looking into my inner world and quite openly about it, I think that terrified him and made him feel insecure and shame for the fact that he wasn't doing his own work. I genuinely believe he thinks that his ability to suppress emotions equals emotional strength. I think that's how you are a strong person, by suppressing all of your emotions and never showing them and never sharing them with anyone, never burdening anyone with your emotions. It took me a year to convince him to go to couples therapy. Like, I was badgering him every few weeks for a year until he finally agreed to go. And when I did get him there, I noticed that he tried to position himself as like co-therapist to treat me, the crazy one, because I was the crazy one in the relationship. I was the one who was expressive about my emotions and quite open about the fact that I needed to do work on myself. It was during those sessions, we were in there for about 6 months, when I decided to get a little bit more assertive in prodding him to answer questions about his own psyche and his own mental health. And he literally panicked in one of the sessions and jumped out of the chair and said, "I can't do this," gave his share of the money to the therapist and ran out the room. And that was my sign that, yeah, this is over. He's not prepared to do any work in this relationship to fix our problems. So after that, I walked home from that session, which probably took about an hour. And I sat down and I very calmly and very compassionately said, "I think you and I both know this relationship is not working, and I think it's time that we called it a day." We then lived together in the same house with a couple of lodgers that we had for 4 months, think. And then COVID came along, and we were literally in the first lockdown of COVID in that house together. Luckily, it was quite a big house. We could have our own space, which he made use of. He isolated himself for about 2 months. I hardly saw him for 2 months after I kind of called it a day on the relationship. And then COVID happened. During that time, he started seeing someone, so he would spend weekends away. I started seeing this guy that I'm with in France. And then after the first COVID lockdown, I moved to France. We own a house together back in the UK, and all of my financial assets are locked up into that house. And he has been sitting on that fucking house for years without getting it on the market. It finally went on the market to be sold in like November or December, but it's going to take a long time for that house to sell because it's a very unique house. It's a very old house, and people are afraid of old houses. I've had my suspicions for a long time that he's been procrastinating on getting the house sold as a form of financial abuse to kind of keep me controlled by him, which has been a really panic-inducing thing. Emotionally, I'm so over him. I was so over him years before I actually called an end on the relationship. So that element of it doesn't really panic me that much. It's literally just the fact that we need to get the house sold so that I can get my assets out of the house, I can be more financially secure, have a future that I can move into. And finally be separated from him, finally be free from him. I get that he has an avoidant attachment style. And from what I understand about avoidant attachment styles, I like to kind of keep pause on their former relationships. So yeah, it's a bit of a shit situation to be financially holden to a relationship that ended 5 years ago. I feel very stuck and like I can't move on with my life. I can't pursue dreams of setting up my own businesses, whether here or in the UK, until that's done. And we've both got lawyers, and lawyers cost money. And I hate seeing my money kind of going down the drain and not being able to use my assets that are in that house to find some sense of security. I feel a little bit panicked at the moment, money-wise, because of that situation, and I'm very angry at him because of it. On a positive note, internal family systems clicked for me today. So I can start mapping my parts, and I can start asking my parts what they feel about this whole situation and every other situation I'm dealing with life in at the moment. So that's why I'm here. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks, Terry. The last thing I would just ask is like, does anybody have anything that they want to say about how being a part of this group has been helpful or supportive or just anything in that respect.
I can. And like I said, I want to just go back and reiterate, like, for the diversity of our group and having so many different takes and outlooks and still have a lot of similarities. Like I said, the biggest takeaway is learning to be a little softer in the way that I'm trying to interpret how I communicate with my ex, especially because we have kids. And she's still discovering a lot of things about herself that she hasn't really, really looked into in depth. It does help. And a big example is the other day in truly avoiding like her trying to gaslight me. I was able to kind of look at it something and she kept going, you're being loud. You're being loud. Like you're too loud. And I'm like, I'm not being loud. I'm trying to talk to you. And it got to the point until like I finally like snapped and I was like, can you just leave me the fuck alone? And she goes, well, I'm so overstimulated. And you're being loud and you're yelling. And it was like, holy shit. I was like, 14 years, like I can like finally just, I was like, go back to that point now. I was like, and I was able to stop and look, I'm sorry, I didn't, I'm stimulated, like overstimulated. I said, you're telling me that I'm being loud. I was like, but I don't know that that means that you're overstimulated. I was like, so now I can like, and I picked that up from the way that like listening to like the way you share, Ashley, and kind of like, knowing that you're neurodivergent and how it is like, you hearing like your side of it, where, when I'm talking to her, we're just already at that point of distrust and dysfunctionality with our frustration that we don't hear each other. And I try to then come back later and go, hey, this is where this is where I made my mistake the other day. I don't know that you're being loud and you're yelling is you telling me that you're dysregulated. So now that I know that, I can take our approach to our conversation differently. If you're saying those things, I can now pause. And I wouldn't be able to pick those things up without these conversations and having, like I said, the flip side perspective of it for me to then be able to have a softer tone, and kind of like try to figure out ways to let my guard down in certain areas and not still just fall prey to like that side of the manipulation of it.
I feel like this group has been pivotal, that in the community has been just having the conversations that we have and like cultivating that my ability to self-reflect and becoming self-aware is what really helped me to see that my relationship was as unhealthy as it was. And the growth that I've experienced here and the support that I have received here gave me the strength to know that like I would be okay leaving the relationship. And then once my husband left and I was alone, that was really hard. That was big. That was the first time I have ever lived alone in my life. And I had no idea what to expect. It was way harder than I thought it would be. But because I was already showing up here consistently and I had, gotten the connections and the support and the love, I kept showing up. And just everybody's like, just encouragement and support and kindness and just like knowing that people were there for me and having them be there when I needed it, when I reached out, people showed up and helped me get through it, and that has been so fucking amazing. It really has. And I mean, there's no way to say for sure, but it's questionable whether or not like I would have survived that without this community. It really is.
Thanks,
Thanks,
Kim.
guys.
Thank you. Go ahead, Lucy.
I just wanted to say that the larger shit show groups and meetings like create this amazing culture. Like there are these expectations of how everyone is always supportive, non-judgmental, you know, like that's amazing. But then I feel like in this small group, it's almost, there's something really special about like, sometimes there's only two or three of us, so you can share for a really long time and gotten to know each other better. So there's a little more like chatting after each share. And I really appreciate that. And like specifically, as an example, one time I was sharing about how I was really nervous to email these friends who I've shared like all of the ups and downs of my divorce with. And I was just feeling like it's too much. They've taken on so much in the past 5 years. Like, I don't want to share them more with them. And Beth chimed in and was like, well, isn't that kind of codependent of you? Like you're sort of trying to control their response or something, or like you're trying to prevent their emotional response instead of just like being yourself and seeing what happens. And I did end up sending this email that was like so wonderful. I got like amazing support. So like Beth's perspective was really, really helpful in this crucial moment. And I'm really glad we had this small group where there is space to like share and crosstalk and stuff. And yeah, so I'm really grateful for all of you. And damn, I wish I'd had this when I was actually getting divorced. I really, really, really needed it.
Within this small group, for me, I definitely receive a lot of support. I think most importantly, for me, the support that I receive is validation of like, no, this, whatever this is that's going on or what you're talking about, like, this is actually fucked up. And, you know, like, here's a term for it. And it's helpful to kind of have fitting language to describe, or like, you know, shared. So that helps me hone in on like, okay, what is it that I need to work through here? Or what's a different approach I could take to like, even when I'm having a really hard time and trying not to be reactive, when something really wrong feeling happens, just trying to approach it with more compassion for myself and for my partner. And through all of that, also just the reinforcement of like, I'm not alone in this kind of struggle. We're all definitely in different but kind of relatable situations. And so it's really nice to not feel like I'm going through this all by myself.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.